Joining us on the morning show, Michelle Reinen from the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, as we talk about some January notes. First of all, this is a time of year, Michelle, when lots of folks are looking at winter and spring vacations and travel plans. And again, you need to beware, don't you?
Exactly. We want people to use those best practices and keep them in mind when booking flights, lodging, and other travel plans. You might not be traveling yet, but you are looking ahead and making those reservations. So now's the time to be wary of vacation lodging scams. You know, these can be found on apps, social media, and other platforms that allow owners to rent out their houses and other lodging properties directly to consumers. And sometimes the property may not exist at all, so we need consumers to be cautious. Other times, the promotional photos can be misleading, leaving the consumer with poor quality lodging compared to what they believed they were going to be paying for.
I know that a lot of folks, you shop around for bargains. We're all good at that. Sometimes it might be too good to be true, though, right?
Exactly. Keep that in mind. Make that the basis for the new year. Perform an internet search for the property's name and address before you book, no matter the price that you have and no matter where you found that accommodation. And then try combining that word search with things like review, scam, complaint, and see if anything concerning is returned. That's just one step in doing your research. And then the other is, if you are using a platform you're not accustomed to and don't have a lot of great experience with, if you are asked to move your conversation off of that platform and away from that platform, don't do it. Let that be a red flag for you. If you found a property on an app, contact the host only through the app, not through social media or text messages, because that's a sign of things not being guaranteed by the app's policies that the property may fall under. And of course, with all things, be cautious if you're asked to pay with cash, cryptocurrency, gift cards, wire transfer, or some other form of payment that's not reversible. Use that credit card to have the most security with that transaction that you can, and something that's traceable and disputable.
What are some other red flags that you can think of, Michelle?
Well, you want to make sure that you obtain written records of any cancellation policy or any statements that they make. And if those can't be provided to you in writing, that needs to also be a concern. And understand what exactly is being reserved. Are you guaranteed a specific accommodation, or is it not really a specific room being held for you? Is it a booking, a service or attraction? Are there additional terms and conditions that you need to look at? And then if you're taking a flight, there's a whole nother group of things that you can research and look at. And I'm going to say this first. Be sure that you take a look at the U.S. federal DOT rules that protect passengers across the board. And you can learn more at transportation.gov/airconsumer, because there are all sorts of rights that consumers have with airlines. And that's, you could be offered refunds for canceled or significantly delayed flights, the locate lost luggage and repair, reimburse any damage to luggage that's in their possession. Airlines must compensate passengers for reasonable and verifiable incidental expenses. So you want to know and understand those. So if you run into a situation where you are delayed, you can assert those rights with those airlines.
I know that, it's a must if you're going to go across the country to fly quickly, but sometimes the whole thought of it makes me tired, Michelle.
It can. Sometimes it can just be smooth as silk? Is that how they say it?
Yes.
Other times there can be bumps in the road, and sometimes it can just be massive delays, and some are weather, and we just can't control that. And other can be airline confusion and issues that they are having with their own technology and things. And patience is going to be the key, communication and documentation to navigate that space.
You want to check in advance if you're flying somewhere too, probably several days out to make sure everything's still going, right?
Yes, that is a wonderful suggestion. Check days out, check day of. But don't be fooled. You know, if your flight's scheduled and they say delayed, and so you stay at home, you know, that can turn around at the same time. because you don't know what the delay is. If it's not weather, if it's a crew and they find a crew, that delay can change quickly. So you do need to be sure that you are where you need to be, when you need to be there, and able to pivot and navigate according to all the changes that can happen.
For certain reasons, they may not give you back your refund or switch it to another flight then, right, if they don't have to?
Yeah, that could be a situation. And again, that's where it's really important to know your rights and be sure you document, put things in writing to the airline. And of course, you can file a complaint here at DADCAP if you're not getting a response from the airline and you think that you should be entitled to a consumer right that they aren't, and we'll help you get that written response and see if it's compliant with those federal rules that they have in place, and we'll work with the U.S. Department of Transportation on that.
Another topic you wanted to hit on this week is the law enforcement impersonators. You've seen an uptick on that recently, I understand.
We have scammers who are impersonating law enforcement agencies and officials, and they're doing that through phone, through text message, through email. The scams are attempting to take different forms and targeting different people from all sorts of locations across the state. It's not one target area, but there are similarities. And what that is that the scam usually begins as a phone call that appears to come from a local law enforcement agency like the local police department or sheriff's office. And they're using caller ID manipulation. They are spoofing that phone number so it looks like it is coming from that local police department and sheriff's office. And once that scammer has the consumer on the line, they're making threats. And those do vary. They can say that you failed to appear for jury duty, that there's a warrant out for your arrest, that they owe you or that you owe them unpaid fines. And some even say that they're conducting an investigation on fraudulent PPP loans from the COVID times. So lots of different threats that can apply both to consumers at their residence, and professionals are being contacted at their places of work with these scams.
So some things to keep in mind, law enforcement probably is not going to ask for money, are they?
No, they're never going to demand cash, gift cards, cryptocurrency, or any form of immediate payment. You may have a fine or a fee that needs to be paid, but they aren't going to demand that happen during that phone call. And then remember, don't trust that caller ID. They are using that caller ID to lend legitimacy to their scam. And of course, scammers threaten you because they want you to comply without questioning their identity or motives. But before you comply, please pause. Ask yourself questions. Consider talking to someone you trust about the situation, especially when the individual says you need to keep it a secret. That needs to be a red flag.
We've had a caller ID here the last couple of weeks, and it's a very prominent publication. And you pick it up and you hear the typical click in the background, and you know there's no one there. And they're obviously using their title to try and get to people, I'm sure, Michelle.
Yes, and that happens across the board, but it's most concerning when it's happening with law enforcement or government officials because people are more responsive to that than even a business. And so we need to be sure that we're recognizing those signs and doing what we can to control those situations by either not picking up or hanging up right away.
Well, lottery winnings is another topic where consumers can be tricked there a little bit, Michelle.
I can. This is the time of year when we see all sorts of sweepstakes, some of them promoted on the television, some legit, but then those impersonators come out. But we have received complaints for consumers already this year that have received a letter. The scammers here sent a formal, legitimate-looking letter to the consumer, which included a fake, non-cashable sample check for over $16,000. And that was to try and gain that consumer's trust. The letter explained that the consumer had been automatically entered in the lottery by making a credit card purchase at a participating grocery store or gas station. And then that resulted in them winning over $1 million to be distributed in monthly increments after fees had been paid. So the letter goes on to ask the consumer to call a phone number, but it warns them that they have had failed attempts to reach them by phone, and this letter was that final notice before their account was canceled and their winnings were lost. So it adds that urgency to the situation. In order to access the winnings, they needed to pay over $10,000 in those fake taxes and fees. And of course, the consumers asked to keep their fake winnings a secret for security and media release purposes, because they want to do a big announcement, so they don't want them letting the cat out of the bag and sharing their good fortune with anyone at this point in time. But we need people to rip this letter up and not respond to it.
That's interesting, because that would be pretty legitimate. I mean, they could get you on the hook pretty easily, couldn't they?
They could. But, you know, we can see some red flags in this. You know, a prize is a prize. You don't need to pay money to receive it. You might have taxes and fees come out of your winnings, but you don't need to pay out of your pocket in order to receive that prize. And be suspicious of any claim that you've won a lottery or some sweepstakes that you never signed up for. You know, you need to be signing up for these in order to win them. So no matter how real a lottery letter looks, always do your research, verify those claims independently before believing them, and don't let that scammer use those high-pressure tactics like deadlines and final notices steal your own money out of your pocketbook.
Right. I know you would have updates at DadCap, but I'm guessing the lottery office, they would be a resource too, wouldn't they?
They could also be a potential resource. They're not going to be on some of these letters and sweepstakes, but if they indicate any way, shape, or form that it's one of the national lotteries or Wisconsin lotteries, yes, they would be a good alternative to check things out with.
Well, folks are vulnerable when they have a loved one in hospice, and it's really sad to hear that there are some frauders out there taking advantage of people, Michelle.
There are. This one we received from our national partner, the Federal Trade Commission. They report that scammers are targeting older adults with calls, text messages, emails, fake ads, and even door-to-door visits. And the scammers are claiming that they'll set the consumer up with free in-home services like free cooking, cleaning, and home health care. But what they're not telling the consumer is how this is going to happen. What the scammer just wants to commit fraud by signing consumers up for care through Medicare, and then they're going to bill Medicare for all kinds of services in the consumer's name. But what we need to know here is that hospice care is a specialized service. It's often done at home for people with terminal illnesses approaching that end of life, and only a doctor can certify that someone is eligible for hospice care. So if someone is signed up for hospice that doesn't need it, this can actually impact their Medicare coverage in the future when they may need this service. So anyone who tells a consumer differently, that a doctor doesn't need to be involved or that they can sign you up, that is a scam and you need to avoid it.
What are some other things to avoid, Michelle?
Well, never give your Medicare number to someone offering free services like housekeeping or cooking. Medicare just doesn't offer free services like that. And never agree to sign up for hospice care in exchange for perks or gifts like money, gift cards, or groceries. And know that Medicare will never come to your home to sign you up for services. If someone comes to your door, says they're from Medicare, and tries to get you to sign up for services, they're just plain lying. And don't give them any information. Call 1-800-MEDICARE to report what is happening and what kind of contacts you've had.
Well, I think the number one resolution is to get in shape. So a lot of people could be looking at gym and fitness center memberships. What is the latest there in terms of ways to stay out of a jam there with scammers?
Well, the first thing is to shop around. You know, before you purchase a gym or fitness center membership, be sure to understand the terms and conditions of any membership that you're looking at, including the length of time and the payment amounts that you'd be responsible for. Understand the fitness center's cancellation policies and ask a customer service representative if you have questions, things like figuring out what's important to you in a fitness center. So what's the location options, the hours, what equipment do they have available? Don't give in to sales pressures. They may ask you to sign up right away or say that this offer is limited time. Still, take your time to make sure you're picking the right one. And again, know the costs. Understand when and how discounts will end, how long you're committing to paying for a membership by taking advantage of them. And then try it out. see if you can get a trial time period before you commit. Ask for that visitor pass so you can see how the facility suits you. Do they have the classes you want during the times that you will be able to use the club? See if there's long lines for equipment, but be sure you're going during the hours that work best for you, so you're evaluating it on the right criteria. And then get a sample contract. Read all those terms and conditions of the membership contract before signing and paying anything.
Sometimes some of the new fitness centers might not even be open that long. If it's a new business, you know, maybe struggles a little bit. What happens in that regard?
Yeah, so some new centers close within a short period of time, or they fail to open at all, as you mentioned. So contracts must guarantee that unopened locations and services will be available for use within 6 months of signing. If any facility or service becomes unavailable during the length of the contract, the consumer is entitled to choose an adjusted refund or transfer of the unused portion of the membership to any affiliated center. And if they choose a refund, it's the center's responsibility to provide the consumer with the adjusted refund. If another company buys that facility that you join, the new owner may be under no obligation to honor your contract. So keep that in mind for how much you maybe prepay in advance of using services. So if something closes, you're not out a lot of money. If you collect more than $100 before using services, then the facility needs to have proof of financial responsibility on file with DADCAP. So you can call in advance to signing a contract to check out to be sure that that proof of financial responsibility is on file with us.
This is the time of year we start to look at our funds, maybe start to look at canceling subscriptions, like maybe a TV or satellite package or whatever the case might be. Sometimes it's hard to get a hold of anybody to do those cancellations, Michelle.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned a few. It could be those video streaming platforms, phone or cable contracts, magazines, subscription boxes, so many options. But this all starts before you subscribe or agree to any recurring fees. Look at the company's refund, return, and cancellation policy and take note of any cancellation fees. Now, you might already be down the path, so anything new you're going to do, take that step. But if you're making a one-time purchase or starting a free trial, check if you are also agreeing to any automatic renewals. And then while some companies make it difficult to cancel their services because they hope consumers will just become frustrated and give up on trying to end, there are ways. If you can't cancel your subscription in an app, try logging in directly to the company's website, because often you can see more options on the full website than on the app and navigate it more easily. And if you're routed to multiple different agents who try different sales pitches to keep you subscribed by phone, have patience. Make sure you've got the allotted time to get through it, but continue to inform them that you want to cancel your service. Keep going with that. And if you just can't get through, contact DADCAP and let us know all the attempts that you've made so we can also assist with making contact with the company to get things canceled.
They do give you the runaround sometimes, don't they?
Some do make it more difficult than others. And so we do want to know about those that are making it difficult and not transparent in how to cancel those subscriptions.
All right. We're off on a good track here for the new year, Michelle. And looking ahead to February, what are we going to be talking about next month? Any idea?
Oh, my guess is we'll probably talk and remind everyone about those romance scams that are out there. I'm sure we'll be talking about the top 10 consumer complaints is likely going to be a category. And probably some form of identity theft issues is my guess, based on the timing of things. But in the meantime, if anyone has any questions or concerns that pop up or something to report, reach out to the Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
All right. Always good to talk to you, Michelle.
Well, you take care and have a great start to the new year.
You bet. Happy New Year. We hope that our conversation can keep somebody out of a jam. That would be our main goal. Michelle Ryan, an administrator from Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection on today's morning show.